This is the tax update for the week beginning 27th August, and we start with HMRC announcing a pilot to visit over the next 3 months between 80 and 90 agents, which HMRC have identified as having a client filing or payment performance that is out with the norm and surprises HMRC. Visits will be conducted by agent support officers, and they're not an investigation, and indeed there's no obligation to have the meeting, but HMRC are trying to build a database of the effect the agents have on compliance, and they're interested to know why certain firms are out with the average or the norm. I'd be very interested to learn if any of you experience one of these, and you can let me have your views at tax@icas.org.uk. You can also read more about it in the notes that accompany this podcast and in the link to HMRC's website. HMRC do try to be helpful, and they've published Agent Update 31, which at 9 pages is a good read, and I'd recommend it. They've also published a YouTube video explaining RTI for employers, but it contains a lot of spin, suggesting that real-time information for employers is going to be helpful to all employers, when in fact it's going to prove quite burdensome for a lot of small employers to make the returns each time payment is made to employees. But at 8 minutes 51 seconds, this video is worth a look, and as usual there's a link to it, and I do recommend that you take a look if you're an employer and you want to prepare for real-time information. In particular, you need to start preparing now, because it's going to be mandatory by October 2013, and you need to start making sure that the information you hold is accurate for your employees. There's also details of a change which HMRC has announced, centralising the contact centres for companies. Now, for individual contact centre performance, HMRC should hang its head in shame, because in 2011, more than 50% of attempts to call HMRC failed. They just didn't answer the phone, and one can only hope that this call centre for companies will be properly staffed with properly trained people, so that HMRC provide a decent service for companies. They've also published new inheritance tax guidance, and in particular there's this incentive for estates to give 10% or more to charity, in which case they can benefit from a reduced rate of inheritance tax of 36%. This seems to me to be quite complex, and it's only going to affect a relatively small number of people who have wealth exceeding $325,000 and therefore an estate that is liable to inheritance tax. But certainly this development is worth a read. But I finished this week with a tax case that looks at the imposition of the scale fuel benefit charge on a company and the consequent liability to Class 1 National Insurance. This case was decided in August, and as usual there's a link to the full decision of PMS International Group PLC versus Revenue and Customs. The company faced assessments over a 6-year period to Class 1A National Insurance of £37,436, and in addition it faced a penalty loading of £4,348. The company manufactured and distributed and sold toys, gifts, novelties, sundry electronic goods in the UK. It had a sales force, and the sales people each had an area for which they were responsible. They were also required to complete monthly expense claims, and many were given the use of a company fuel card. The company had a policy on expenses and made it clear that each employee was required to keep records identifying any business mileage that was private, and recording a detailed record with each purchase of fuel. This was in turn reviewed by a manager and authorised, and where there was private mileage, the company would charge this at 13p a mile, restricting either the salary payment that month or the expenses reimbursed. But HMRC wanted each employee using a company car to keep a mileage log of every journey undertaken, and the tribunal rejected HMRC's wish, recognising that although it might be best practice to have records of each individual journey undertaken by employees, there's no requirement in the law to have such a record, and it would be unnecessary and burdensome. The company's policy actually required the employees to assume the responsibility, but in practice, the company had not trained its employees properly, and it was unlikely that they would recognise the special conditions of private mileage properly. That failure to implement its policy and to train its employees properly meant the company did have to account for the scale fuel benefit charge, which you will recollect as an all or nothing. If any fuel is provided for private use, then the whole scale charge is triggered. It's a punitive thing. But that raises the second question. Did HMRC have the right to impose penalties? And in fact, the tribunal decided that Regulation 81 of the Social Security Contributions Regulations 2001 was not satisfied because the company had been honest, it had done the best that it could, but it had been let down by the insufficiency of records maintained by its employees. And as the company had acted in a reasonable way, the way a prudent person would have done, there was no negligence and there was certainly nothing more serious, and so the tribunal ruled that HMRC was not entitled to penalties. Thanks very much for listening.